Welcome to Beauty and the Brain with your hosts, Dr. Chris Crowley and nurse practitioner Jerry Drinkard. Get ready to dive into the latest in revolutionary treatments, cutting-edge devices, and wellness secrets. Whether you're a consumer or provider, we're here to empower you at the forefront of beauty and aesthetics.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Beauty and the Brain, the podcast where we discuss all things aesthetics. I'm your co-host, Dr. Chris Crowley.
And I'm Jerry Drinkard, family nurse practitioner. And together, Chris and I own Skin and Tonic, a med spa that's located here in Pace, Florida. Today, we're joined by not a guest anymore, but our very own Allie Ballou, who's a nurse practitioner here at the clinic. And we're going to be talking about some fun things and some things that we can do at home.
Yeah, Allie always brings fun topics. So, Allie, this one is yours, I think, your suggestion, or you and Sierra?
Jerry's, actually, I think.
Oh, this is your suggestion?
This is Jerry's.
Oh, okay, then.
I never bring ton of things, but I did, and Allie took it.
Allie stole it, okay.
I got to pick.
So, who's going to lead this? Because I'm just here for the conversation today.
We're going to let Allie's going to lead.
Yeah, that's fine. So, today we are going to be talking about things that we can do, budget-friendly aesthetic treatments that we can do at home, and then both in the med spa. So what you can do at home to maintain your results, to prevent things from happening to your skin that you need treatment at a medical spa, and then also when and how to use your medical spa strategically for your budget and for your best results.
I think it's something that's important to everybody because right now people are budget conscious about things. And we're going into the time of the year where skincare is super important and we don't want to cause further damage. So we know one thing we'll be talking a lot about, but we also want to do things to prevent, like, you know, harm to what we've done over the winter.
Sounds good to me. So let's do it.
So some at-home aesthetic treatments that we can be doing. So I think, you know, at the core of this topic, we're going to be really talking about skincare. And not even, I mean, quality obviously matters. I think, you know, ingredients that are in the products, making sure that they're tested. Obviously, if we can have any clinically proven result-based skincare lines, things that you can get at your medical spas, I think those are going to be your best results, right? But I think even more than that is really consistency. So once you start using a skincare product, being consistent in that routine and sticking it through, I always have to coach my patients when they switch to skincare, you know, sticking through that purging time and really just getting through that and becoming consistent. Because even if you're using really high quality brands and high quality ingredients, if you're not doing that routine every single day or every other day, depending on the products that you're talking about, you know, it's not going to do what you intend for it to do. And I see that in my patients a lot. And I also see in my patients that they'll say, this isn't really helping me, so I'm going to stop using it. And then a few months later, they're like, I guess it was helping me because now my skin doesn't look as good as it was.
I always think about my mom, and she's 74 now, and she didn't have like medical grade skincare, and she certainly like didn't use a lot of sunscreen. What she did do was consistently use Olive Oil. And considering like the amount of work she's had done, which is very minimal, like some Botox here and there, you know, occasional chemical peel, like considering the amount of damage that she's done to her skin, just the consistency of that simple olive oil has made a difference in the quality of her skin. Way back, I think Sheila from Skin Institute, who like told Chris and I when we first started this, she's at Skin Institute out of Miami, and she said consistency, and you need three big things. You need to cleanse, moisturize, and protect. And so, you know, there's eye creams and lifting creams and like vitamin C's and all of that. But I think consistency with like some products is one of the big things to stick with.
Are you consistent with products?
I'm consistent. But I use like different products. So I always cleanse. Sometimes I may cleanse too much because I'm oily. And so I'll cleanse my face during the day at the clinic. I'll cleanse like in the morning. I'll cleanse before I go to bed. But also if I get up to go to the bathroom at night, if I feel oily, I wash my face at like 2 a.m. So it's nothing for me to wash my face 4 or 5 times a day. Anytime I brush my teeth, so after, like, typically after dinner, I'll brush my teeth, and if I brush my teeth, I'll wash my face.
And do you wash it again right before you go to bed?
I always. I'll always wash your hair.
Yeah, that's not good.
I'm using Elastin, it's a medical grade skincare product. But so my face is very clean.
Moral of the story.
Clean. So consistency, yes, I'm very consistent with washing my face. I'm very consistent with moisturizing, but I'm not consistently using the same product but I always use
a product.
Yeah.
I mean, the same. I think that I haven't used like any like over the counter. Like it's always been, and we're in the business, so we have access to a lot of that. So I consistently, but I go through phases. So I will use consistently a product or a product line for a while. So I'll use one thing for 2 or 3 months, and then I'll switch and I'll use something else because I want to try something new. So I'm pretty consistent with that. I'm probably the worst about sunscreen.
I'm for sure the worst about sunscreen.
And not because I really, like, I love the sun, obviously, but I'm not trying to always get a tan. It literally is that I don't like consistency of a lot of them. I don't want to feel that I have something. So to me, finding a line or a product that the patient enjoys the way it feels is the way it's well as it performs what it's supposed to do is really important. Because if you are somebody like me that you don't like feeling like you have something heavy on your face or makeup on your face, then you're not going to be consistent. You're not going to use it. So for me, it's been important to find a sunscreen that will meet those, demands. And so when I'm hot or when I'm outside, it's not something that's getting in my eyes and burning. It feels light on my face. So I think we have products like that that I'm more consistent with than when I have something that's a little bit heavier. And definitely like the cleanser and the moisturizer, I'm very consistent with that.
I used to be very inconsistent with sunscreen because I think so many sunscreens on the market are very oily. And I would notice consistently, I would go to the beach and then I would break out. And I was like, why is the sun causing me to break out? But it wasn't the sun. It was the sunscreen I was putting on my face. And so I think, again, just finding something that you actually like how it feels on your face and it doesn't interfere or cause any complications with your face is the key to consistency. Because if you don't like it, you're not going to use it. And so I was more apt to just, throw a cap on and my face is going to burn a little bit rather than putting on sunscreen if I knew I had something going on next week that was going to cause me to break out. But now I have a sunscreen that I really like and I don't mind using, and I actually wear it every day even though I'm going to be inside here treating all of you guys all day.
I probably should start that.
Yeah, I mean, we always say that that's one of the most important things anywhere really, but especially here in Florida. And I think people, when you look at like budget, and we know that things in the med spa are expensive. I always say probably one of the things that you can do at home that may have a little bit of an upfront investment when you buy that product or the sunscreen is going to give you your best long-term prevention. So it is going to minimize the number of lasers and chemical peels and other things that we have to do here in the med spa to really fight that photo or that UV damage. So it's a way to kind of ensure that your treatments are more effective or lasting longer, that you can maybe space out the time between those treatments.
It's kind of like insurance for all the money that you spend on getting treatments done.
And that being said, I can't wait, until we're on another beach vacation. We just got back from QS. So we're sitting here talking about sunscreen, looking all tanned and got this podcast. Got that glow. I would love to say it's a spray tan, but it's not. It's a QS tan.
We'd get another one next week if we could.
So I think some other things that we can be looking at doing at home, I think dermaplaning is something that's become really popular for people to take on and do at home. That's a really good exfoliant, increases your skin cell turnover while also getting all of that baby peach fuzz off of your face and helping your makeup to lay better, your product to soak in better as well.
Dermaplaning at home. So for people who don't know what dermaplaning is, it's a procedure that we do in the med spa. And we use a sterile single use number 10 blade. So it's a scalpel blade, it's very sharp. And our trained providers here are able to take and lightly go over the top of the skin. So it's much like shaving with a straight blade. It's kind of what that is akin to. We're not really doing it for the shaving purpose. It will remove those fine vellus hair and the upper layers of some of that dead skin cells. But it's important because one of the things that can occur, it is so sharp, is you can cut people's face. And I don't think patients really think about all those little nicks. So here, we prep the face, cleanse the face, and if we happen to cut it, it's with a sterile single-use device. We throw it away at the end of it. But at home, there are some home care devices where people are using it, and they're not going through all those steps. So they're not cleaning their face properly to start with. or they're using the same one over and over.
I was gonna say the reuse, I think, is like, I think that's the thing with home care, is you still have to take all the precautions. We see that also with like a lot of these microneedling rollers also.
I have patients constantly ask me about microneedling at home. I constantly get ads for those little, they're almost like little pods that have the little needles on the end of it, and people are just, you know, stamping them into the face and loading them with product too as well. And people ask me about that, and like, I wouldn't do it because, first of all, I'm a baby, and I don't think my patients have access to just like numbing cream laying around their house. And so it's not going to be comfortable, first of all. And then just making sure, like you said, that the face is cleansed properly and that you're not introducing any, you know, germs or bacteria into your skin.
And are you using a sterile product?
Yeah.
Like, are you injecting something that's sterile, or is it something that's off of that? And, you know, that's, I think we're going to talk a little bit more about medical grade skincare. And so if you use a good quality skincare that is medical grade, then it's made to absorb the skin better so that you don't necessarily have to have the microneedling process to get the absorption. And that's part of the reason you spend the extra money on the better product.
Yeah, because I mean, I think, you know, we can see some of the downstream effects of these infections. And people don't think about it a whole lot, but it's like, even if you have like a bad acne outbreak and you have that one little area that's inflamed, we tell people don't squeeze it, because that process alone can increase the chance that you're going to have long-term scarring there. So a dark pigment, a hole. But that can also occur if you're using these microneedle devices or any of the home dermaplaning, and you get these nicks and they get infected. So just be cautious. Make sure you understand that you are putting yourself at some risk if you're going to do any of these things at home. What about some of the home chemical peels? So we do a lot of chemical peels in the office, right? And so we have our alpha hydroxy acids, beta hydroxy acid. So things like our salicylic, our glycolic lactic acid peels. But there are some of these things that are advertised for patients to do at home. So I actually think some of the mild peels are fairly effective at home. I think like a mild glycolic is a way that people can stretch their budget a bit and do some of this at home. And then when they need something a bit more aggressive, come in and see us and we can customize something specifically for them.
The thing about it is the at-home peels are low enough strength that they're relatively safe. The bad thing is that now people will find things online that aren't, you know, because I had patients tell me even that they could order, like, they saw Botox on Amazon. I haven't looked, so I'm like, I don't know how you could do that, because even new providers coming into the industry have problems getting it. So I don't think you can get it off of Prime. But it's one of those things that, like, again, they have to, they probably can access it, but as long as it's something that's a safe strength, then yeah, good for it.
And we talk about consistency, but I think also you don't want to overuse these products too, where you're stripping the skin barrier and doing too much. And then also knowing that after you do give yourself a chemical peel, even these lower level chemical peels, you want to be super vigilant about your sunscreen, about your sun exposure, and things that can put you at higher risk when that skin is stripped down a little bit.
We've already talked a little about microneedling, and we talked about dermaplaning. And so those are all things that can strengthen the peels too. That, you know, chances are someone's aggressive enough at home to do dermaplaning or microneedling, then they're going to seek out a peel that's higher, a higher strength or a lower pH, which makes it stronger. And so if you do a dermaplane or you do a microneedling, a lot of people don't realize that your chemical peel is going to respond much stronger than it would if you did it just on natural skin.
And y'all have an LED light mask, right? Like a red light therapy mask at home?
We do.
How often do you guys use your red light therapy mask? I don't have one, so.
I don't. It takes a lot of time, and you can't really look at your phone while you're under the mask. And usually, if we're home, we're like on our phones doing some type of work or on the computer. And so it truly takes, like, it's some downtime. Hours. Is it worth it? Yes, I do think it's worth it, because I did use it when I had some inflammation. I used it pretty consistently after my neck lift, and I think it did help with that.
have a friend that has eczema pretty bad, flare-ups randomly, but it will a lot of times be on her legs, not necessarily her face. So she bought one of those like folding panel ones, and she'll actually just like lay it or hold it over her legs where she's having eczema, and she sees really good results with it. The problem is that she has to do it so consistently that she ends up skipping a day here or there, and then it's right back to where she was. So I was actually just talking to her last night about ordering like a niacinamide serum, because it has anti-inflammatory properties that can help with redness and stuff. So she is going to order some niacinamide and try that for her eczema, because I feel like that's a lot easier for her to do more consistently than the red light therapy that takes more time.
I didn't use it. I have psoriatic arthritis, and before I started on Skyrizi, I was having a really bad flare up, and it was in my hand and my injection thumb, and I used it very consistently then for probably 3 weeks, and I could tell a big difference in it.
Not recommending this, but she also sees results from the tanning bed with her eczema. The tanning bed helps her eczema. So I know we say, yeah, tanning beds are bad. Shame, shame. But it does help her eczema.
UV light will help some with that. And there's actually
red light beds.
Yeah, there are.
Well, red light, but there's also the UV light. And there's ways that you can apply that specifically to the areas. I mean, obviously, you have to find a med spa that has the right technology. But you don't necessarily, we still don't. People will say that the eczema hits better,
yeah,
but we don't promote tanning beds. But I understand the allure of like going there and being like, let me go and just clear up really quick, right? I mean, we all like to do that, but do it with caution, because there are ways that you can get eczema controlled without having to then get the photo damage that you're going to be exposed to for anything else. Because really that process, it's changing things at the cellular level, and that photo damage is causing like structural changes in the DNA. And so then what we see long-term down the road, it's things that we really have a lot of trouble combating here. So when we see people come in with these deep lines, deep wrinkles, leathery skin, dark spots, it's hard to combat all that. And I think early on, we would see that patients would come to us and we would do a lot of different things. And it was always clear the ones who would tan and use tanning beds regular versus the ones who did not. Because we would do exactly the same things, but at some point we just couldn't get that glow that we were able to get on the ones who were using sunscreen and protecting it. So I think we battle with that and struggle with it. I mean, again, I feel better when I have a tan. Like, there's no doubt about it. I think, you know, it's one of the things that I sit here and I say all this and I try to be transparent, but I realized that I was having this automatic deduction come out of my account recently for a tanning membership. And I'm like, I haven't been tanning in a really long time. And I was trying to cancel it. And they're like, well, you were here like 12 or 14 months ago. So I think I went before some event or some trip. And for some reason, I did probably an auto sign up, and they had taken money that whole time without me paying attention to it. And so then I canceled it. But guess what? They're like, but you're already paid for this month, so you have a few weeks left. I'm like, oh yeah, let me go on and hop into that.
While I'm
it
here.
So good. While I'm here, and I've already paid for
such it. Such a good nap, too. Oh,
yeah. So I understand that. It's hard. I understand that allure, but I think it's important to you know, really educate people on the health risk and dangers of that. And again, I try to practice what I preach, but every now and then I fall into that trap as well. I'm like, let me catch a tan.
Any thoughts on the Hylopen?
We did a podcast, basically a whole podcast about that, like maybe a year ago. I haven't seen anything lately. Have you seen any of them come in?
Mm-mm. I feel like people have kind of realized.
I've not seen any good Hylopen results, which I guess they wouldn't come to us if the results were good. But we had like a freaking like rush of people in here about a year ago. And the lip jobs were a mess, a tragic mess. So steer clear. One of the things on here is talking about like a non-approved injector, non-licensed injector, not a professional. And the lady that cuts my hair, I didn't know about this, but she's very open about it, but she went and had injectable, she doesn't know what it was, into her hips and into her butt. Two of her friends also went at a different time. Both friends died from a hotel in Pensacola, and the injector's in prison now for 15 years.
Here?
I mean, this stuff happens all over.
Like, you hear about it and you read about it and you think it's other places. You don't realize we've seen it before in some other populations of our patients, but I didn't that.
But if you look almost weekly for the past 6 or 8 weeks, there's been major arrests at med spas with people performing procedures that are not licensed. And so it's examples of non-medical people, medical people from other areas that aren't licensed in the U.S. or in that state, and providers using products that are not approved in the U.S. at all. So some of them may be legitimate product that they brought from other countries, and some of it may not be. The bottom line is there's no regulation. And so there's definitely a crackdown on that right now. So people have got away with it for a long time. There's a lot of money in this industry. And so you have these, you know, basically bad actors that come in and kind of ruin the reputation for everybody because they're coming in, they're not doing it right, and it harms the entire industry. But mostly it's putting patients and their lives at risk.
And it's not just this industry. I mean, a guy was just arrested in Atlanta for doing veneers, and he's not a dentist. So, you know, you had several good cases and or good outcomes, and so people started using him and going to him because it was cheap, and then now all of a sudden, like, his life's ruined for it.
So aside from going to a non-licensed professional, what is your favorite tip for saving money in the med spa? So, like, what's something you tell your patients, like, a good strategy, a good economically sound strategy for?
So I'm going to, you know, take a minute with that question and really plug Skin and Tonic, but also for the med spa and med spa owners that are out there that may be listening to this. I think what we do, it's not just about money, but the membership program to me is like the best cost saving strategy. And so when I say that, and when I look at that, if you look at our membership program, we've tried to come up with a way to get people in here frequently, not because of the money in our pocket, but because that it really gives them the best long-term result. The membership program, I think that, you know, when you look at ours specifically, it's a cheaper price than they're going to get for almost any of those other things. So by coming and doing those things, not only are they probably able to stretch out the other treatments they're going to get throughout the year, but it's a cost-saving strategy that they can do these preventive things so they can do it safe under medical direction and supervision.
And consistently.
And consistently. So I think that's the main thing we've said multiple times is consistency. And so we came up with that. Again, we would make more money if this people came in without being in the membership and we just charged straight up prices. Some of the things are discounted, I think, a few $100s, like the Plexer shower, which is one of our more popular procedures in the membership program, is discounted from its regular price quite a bit for our members. But it's a way for them to come in and get something that helps them generate their own collagen and elastin. So to me, if you want to know my number one cost saving strategy for our patients, it's join the membership. If you're a med spa listening to it, look at a way that you can get a membership program started so your patients will get the results, the best results, and it can be profitable for them as a practice and also beneficial for the patient.
I think part of the money saving tip that I have is to create a plan for the patient, because if people are coming in and just kind of doing things on a whim, oftentimes it's not money saving. And I understand that some of the treatments people get are for events, but I think that if you start your year and say every 4 months I'm going to do so and so, then I think that that's the best way to set yourself a budget at the beginning of the year. And so even if they're not a member of the membership program or loyalty programs within the industry, there's Aspire and Alley and different ones for different companies. But I think that's a big way, is to go ahead and set ahead. Like, I always, for myself, I like to do something quarterly. My talks, I don't do every 3 months. I typically do it every 5 months or so. But I do either a laser or a chemical peel or microneedling or Plexer. Those are all things that are lower cost that you can do and still get a result. But I also think that, like, at 52, I think that's the reason that my talks last as long as it does, is because I try to keep my skin in good shape.
And, you know, another good rewards thing that we personally have at Skin and Tonic is our new app that we have. And so our patients are earning rewards for every dollar that they spend with us, every visit that they come come in, they're getting rewarded for. And then also we now have the option to use Affirm too. So patients can, you know, space out those payments a lot of times without accruing interest. And so that's a big thing, I feel like, for like my generation, maybe more than your guys's, just because like I'm all about a payment plan as long as I'm not accruing interest. And so I'm like, if I can make three payments instead of doing it all up front at once and I'm 0% interest, why would I not do that? And so especially when you have like the option to auto draft it out of your account. So it's like, I would rather do that instead of paying a big lump sum personally. So I think that that's another really good option that we have for patients now. And I think they've really, you know, taken advantage of it and used it. And then another thing, when you're talking about like how you only do your Botox about every like 4 or 5 months, I had a patient recently that she had been reluctant to do any type of neurotoxin because she was like, it's not something I can do every 3 months. I'm like, well, you don't have to do it every 3 months. You know, that's what it's going to typically last you for. But it's not that, you know, if you can't afford to do it every single 3 months for the rest of your life, it's not worth it. Because I tell my patients, even moving your face for half the year versus the full year, that's still going to prevent those lines and creases from getting deeper and deeper. And so I think that's something for patients to know too, that they think it's very much a commitment when it doesn't have to be. Obviously, we would love to have everybody, you know, tox year round, but it is something that you can do 2-3 times a year instead of 4 times a year.
Chris is probably close to twice a year.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, occasionally we'll touch up his crow's feet or something, but like, you don't do a lot of tox.
No, not, I mean, and again, over years, the muscles atrophy, but I think that's where it is important. And we love the opportunity to just do a consult with a patient. So we don't always have to even do treatments, but to talk to people about what their options are, to come up with a plan. And I think that, you know, is another, you know, tip, is have a consult with a provider. Sometimes you look up these things online and we get a lot of feedback about pricing and why isn't it listed online and why aren't we, and it's not that we're trying to necessarily trick people or have a bait and switch. They don't necessarily always know exactly what treatment that may be appropriate for them. And so we love the ability and the opportunity to actually just meet with them and come up with a plan. So we can work within their budget. We can talk about, you know, here's what your options you have available, low, medium, high price point, financing options, or come up with a plan that really is unique to them. And so I think that's where working with the provider and really trusting their medical expertise to help guide you can also help save you money in the long run.
I think having those like larger price point treatments to, you know, list on your website for like med spa owners, a lot of times, you know, somebody can be just scrolling online and be like, oh, this place is way out of my price range, just because they see one or two things that are priced higher and they don't understand that we do have those lower tier options that are really good if you do them consistently and really beneficial. And so like you said, just coming in and talking to a provider, because we can be upfront with you. And I tell my patients, I spend your money like I would spend my money. I want you to get the most bang for your buck and feel like every dollar you spent here was a good dollar spent here. So I think it's really important to talk to your providers and see, you know, what your best treatment options are. And that's one of the things me and my patients go over in our consultations, is what your budget is.
Well, kind of our like philosophy here has always been, when it was just me and Jerry and we were the, you know, receptionist, the janitor, the inductor, everything, because it was only the two of us and we were doing just parties. Like, we were very conscious about like budgets back then and said spend it like we would want to spend their money like it was our own money. But then as we've kind of grown the business and developed it and we looked at like things that we put in place, you know, I would say that when you look at our priorities, I think everybody here knows safety is first, patient results is second. And then right behind that is the business. But we never put the business end of it first, because we believe that if we provide safe care, that we give them good results. And part of them giving the good results is respecting their budget, working in their budget, spending their money like we would spend ours, then naturally the business end of it will be okay. I mean, that's kind of the way that we believe, Jerry and I, when we founded this company. But so we try to live by this to this day. We can't just ignore the business side of it. So I'm not telling people to throw it out the window. You have to be aware and be a good steward of the business to make it successful. But really, if you put those other things first and always think about not just the money, how would you spend their money, but also how do you want to be treated as a client? And always put that in the first and in front of your mind, that I think your businesses will succeed and do well. All right. Well, thank you everybody for tuning in for another episode of Beauty and the Brain. We look forward to seeing you next week. We'll see you soon.
Bye.